Good day, I'm Jackie Judd with Health on the Hill. The more than year-long struggle by Democrats to enact health care reform legislation appears to be in its final phase, with President Obama hoping for House and Senate votes before the end of March. To bring us up to date, Mary Agnes Carey of Kaiser Health News and Julie Rovner of National Public Radio. Welcome to you both. Tell us about what the president is doing this week.
He's out visiting Philadelphia and St. Louis this week to keep up the drumbeat on that Congress must pass health care reform. He'll talk about how much policies are increasing, people are losing their coverage, small businesses need help, young adults need to be able to stay on their parents' insurance policies because they can't afford it in the individual market. He's basically going to keep the focus on this to try to help Congress back home, the Senate and the House, to finish action on their health care package.
And what arguments can Nancy Pelosi be making now to persuade Democrats to vote yes, some of whom didn't the first time in November and some of whom may be changing their minds?
Well, the main argument, obviously, is that it will be worse for them to have nothing than to have something. Clearly, if you look at polls, and I'm talking about polls for re-election, not polls on the bill, things are not looking good for the Democrats right now. Most of the polls show that the Republicans are resurgent, if you will. But clearly, that's mostly because this has been something of a if not do nothing, a do not very much Congress. And that's because Congress has spent so much time working on this health bill that has yet to come to fruition. So I think the best argument that Speaker Pelosi and Senate Majority Leader Reid can make to their members is we've got to push this over the finish line. We've got to get something. And yes, if you look at the polls on the bills themselves are not very popular. But when you look at the polls on the individual elements of the bill, those individual elements are popular. So there's an argument to be made that that the Republicans have done a very good job demonizing the bill as a whole and the process by which it has come to be, but that if the bill passes and people come to understand what's in it, that they will like it better. So that if they go ahead and pass it and people see what it does, that they will A, get the credit for actually doing something that no Congress has been able to do for the past 100 years, and B, that actually the elements that are in it are relatively popular.
What piece parts are most popular and with whom?
Well, the ban on pre-existing conditions, so not letting insurers discriminate against people with pre-existing conditions, very, very popular, always has been. Things like the having exchanges, places where people can go, small businesses, to get subsidies to buy insurance, that's very popular. As Mary Agnes was saying, letting young people stay on their parents' plans until they're either 26 or 27, that varies by the bill. That's very popular. Even there was a Washington Post poll not too long ago, the individual mandate, which has been very controversial, requiring everyone to have insurance. There was a poll that said, would you support that mandate if people who with low incomes got subsidies, which of course is part of both bills? 53% said yes. So even the individual mandate, depending on how you ask the question, gets majority support. So there are many elements of these bills that are indeed quite popular.
A Democratic pollster was quoted in a Politico article over the weekend who said his focus groups of all kinds of voters show that many voters at this point are saying, just get something done. And I guess that's the kind of sentiment that Obama will try to be tapping into during his road trips this week.
That's right. He's going to say, how long can we afford to wait? And how long do we want to wait, and that people need this help, and that Congress has been on the issue for so long. Many members ran on this issue. The president ran on this issue, and that the time is now. And as Julie was saying, and if they wait, the problems that exist now in health reform of people losing coverage and high prices aren't going to get any better. Of course, there's great debate whether this bill will solve those problems. But from the president's perspective and from many Democrats on the Hill, this bill is what has to happen now.
We were talking before we started to tape about how monumentally complicated it is, this vote, and that the situations for so many House members in particular have changed since November. What's the calculation on that side for those members?
Well, I think they're looking at a variety of things. And they may be looking if there was a gubernatorial race in their state where a Republican won, they're a Democrat and a Republican campaigned against the health care bill. That would certainly be of interest to them. If they think that in sentiment in their particular district, is simply that this bill is too much of a government solution, or as Julie was talking about, if the polling numbers show that people are fearful that it's perhaps a government takeover of health insurance, then they may be deciding to go back against the bill. We have talked about the Blue Dogs last week, the conservative Democrats in the House. They may be looking at, if they were worried about the House bill not controlling costs, they may be taking a close look at the Senate bill, and they have to decide if that's a better cost controller. It really is an individual decision for so many of these people that they may not be as concerned about the greater Democratic Party interest as perhaps Nancy Pelosi or Harry Reid or the president is.
One word I think that we haven't yet spoken today is abortion, the great social issue of our time probably that just doesn't go away. What are the problems there that Nancy Pelosi is facing with this small block of Democrats?
Remember, the first vote that the House members are going to have to take is on this Senate-passed bill. And the Senate-passed bill was a compromise on abortion primarily between Barbara Boxer and Ben Nelson. Barbara Boxer, very outspoken abortion rights supporting member. Ben Nelson, very conservative, pro-life member. But this language satisfied both of them, at least momentarily. But right now, you've basically got the two sides saying black and white on this Senate language. You've got, you know, abortion rights side saying, we don't like this language. We think it's very much too pro-life. But you've got the pro-life side saying, if you ever want to be seen as a pro-life member, you cannot vote for this. It is the biggest expansion of abortion rights since Roe v. Wade. That's literally what the National Right to Life Committee wrote last week. So you've got this huge dispute about what this language would do.
Well, let's do a reality check for a moment. What does the Senate bill say about federal funding?
Well, it basically says that there will be no federal funding of abortion. At least that's what the language says. Now, what the National Right to Life Committee says is that there are loopholes in that language that would allow for abortion funding in certain situations. There are huge differences of opinion about whether that is true. Within the exchanges about whether you could purchase abortion coverage, what it says is that you may purchase abortion coverage using your own money if you write a separate check every month.
And it would be put, theoretically, in a separate fund.
That's right. It would be walled off. Abortion rights groups are unhappy about that because they say it would be so administratively complex that what would happen is that basically plans just wouldn't bother to offer it.
And opponents of abortion are saying it's an impractical solution. Of course, there's going to be leakage in that wall.
That's right. So both sides actually dislike that part of it. But the pro-life groups say that within the rest of the bill, there are loopholes in some of that money. An example, there's $7 billion extra for community health centers. But because of the way it's written, they say it wouldn't be covered by the regular appropriation, which, of course, does have abortion banned through the Hyde Amendment, which applies to the regular money. There's a lot of dispute about whether it was inartfully written or whether that's sort of a ridiculous argument that, of course, it would be banned through the regular appropriation. So there are disputes like that. But where you end up with is whether or not it's true, it's what do those 12 members believe? Will this vote be held against them by their constituents? Mm-hmm. At some point, it becomes irrelevant whether or not it's true. It becomes a matter of what the voters believe and what those members think that they can do, whether this vote will be held against them come election time by pro-life voters.
And given all of the complications that we've just talked about, is it practical for the president to get the timetable he's now asking for, which is a House vote by March 18th before he leaves for an overseas trip? Reasonable?
Well, it seems like a heavy lift for a few reasons. We haven't seen the actual legislative language or the scoring of the proposal the president put out, which would go this budget reconciliation package that tries to bridge the differences between the House and the Senate. That score has to be out there. The language has to be out there to really start to win those votes or not win them, as the case may be, in the House and in the Senate. So that's a little bit difficult. Of course, in the House, things can move much more quickly than we're looking at in the Senate. So we've got about 10 days. We'll have to see what happens, but it could be a pretty difficult thing to do.
We haven't talked much yet about the Republicans. What are they doing this week?
They're very successful talking points, yeah. Which is that this bill is the beginning of the end of the healthcare system as we know it, and that this will be a huge mistake. I mean, I think they've got two sort of sets of talking points. One of them is aimed at the American public, saying that this is a bad bill. It's bad for the healthcare system. It's bad for the economy. And then their other set of talking points is aimed at the Democrats. that, saying this will be bad for you, Democrats. This will be, you know, we're going to make this a national referendum. This is going to be, you know, in every race in the country at the come election time. So they're basically going after the concerns of some of the individual Democrats will be asked to vote for this, and they're continuing to sow the seeds of doubt in the American electorate. And so far, up until now, it's worked pretty well. Why should they change?
Okay. Thank you both so much. Talk to you again next week. And thank you for watching. This has been Health on the Hill.